How's everybody doing today? Awesome. All right. We're going to be in 3 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And we're going to be talking about egotistical ministries or ministries that are self-centered this morning. And preferably, when you understand this, you understand that in our churches today, there will always be people who want to misrepresent God. And they will misrepresent God because they're greedy. They want the power. They want the recognition. They want to do everything their way. In other words, they're leaders who have their own agenda. And they don't care about what God's will is. And remember that one of the things is that John the Apostle exposes one person in particular here named Diotrephes. And he is singled out as a person who wanted the power that pertained to God. In other words, the preeminence of God was being stripped by him. So that he could be the one standing out above everybody else in the church. So he was possibly an elder. He was probably one of the people that had been there a while John was gone. And so in the church of Ephesus, he was a main person who was influencing other people and surrounding himself with a group of people that would be loyal to him and not to God. And so we're going to see how this functions in our ministries today. One of the things is that people who are self-centered in ministry, remember that their hunger is for power and their position in the church is only to get noticed and exalted and be appreciated by people for their own merits, not giving glory to God. And so they're famous for that. John teaches us the dangers of having these kinds of people in the church, and how they rob God of his glory and his preeminence as being above everything and everybody else. So let's look at the dangers of self-centered ministries and the dangers that they bring to people and to the body of Christ as well. Okay, we're going to be in verses 9 and 10 this morning. The dangers of self-centered ministries. Father, I pray you will speak to our hearts and that, Father, you will be exalted as we share the gospel this morning. That you, Father, will be honored and glorified with everything that is said and done from the pulpit, and that people are drawn to you, Lord, through this. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so verse 9. Let's read verse 9. I wrote something to the church. This is John the Apostle writing a letter to the church. But Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. John had written a letter to the church pertaining to these issues. And because he was exposing Diotrephes, he hid the letter so that it wouldn't get to the people. And this letter, he probably destroyed it. Now, the reason for that is because, remember, he had a foothold in the church, and he didn't want to lose that position. So he was disrespecting the apostle of the church, which was John, and he was trying to pad up his own little kingdom there so that he could run things his way. And so the first thing I want to give you as a point is that their pride promotes themselves. That's the first point. Okay, because they're so full of pride, they promote themselves and not the Lord. And then, as John said, he wrote a letter, but the Diotrephes, who loves to be first, right? That is his heart. People with self-centered egos love themselves. And so they only live to serve what meets their own needs. In other words, they want it all for themselves. He says he does not accept what we say. In other words, he wants nothing to do with us. And a person who is in that kind of position, I don't know if you've ever served in ministries, but you'll see them. And they love just being tended to, and they love to be the person that has the only answers there in the church, so people flock to them. And so they like to influence people. It's kind of like they get a high on being the only persons that would have the right answer. See, when a person is like that, run from them. Because there's plenty of good people in the church, especially if you have elders that have wisdom to impart to the people of the church. But many people want to hoard it to themselves. And remember that the church of Ephesus had this member in their church, and he loved being first, he loved being the boss. I want everything to run through me. I want everything to go and operate according to my way. You know that power can destroy a lot of people? And one of the things is when people rise in prominence in positions of leadership, one of the things Satan does right off the bat is to try to fill you up of yourself so that you can be able to be not only ineffective for the Lord, but Satan loves for you to destroy the lives of other people. And so many people get hurt And it's weird because sometimes you see people and you think, oh, I think they can handle the position. But once they're given that, true colors come out, and all of a sudden they get power hungry. And then they start hurting people left and right because they're doing everything they can to build a kingdom for themselves. So pride has always been one of the ways that Satan uses to destroy ministries. Even the Lord's disciples struggled with that. You know that, right? They were asking Jesus, who's going to be on your right and who's going to be on your left? Who's going to be the highest in the kingdom, right, when we get up into heaven? And even our Lord's disciples would argue for those things about being the greatest in the kingdom, and Jesus would tell them, chill. You know, it's not for me to say. It's for the Father to say who is going to be in those positions of prominence, right? And let's go to Matthew 18, just to cover a little bit of this. When they asked him, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And he tells them, you must become like children, right? In order to see the kingdom with the right perspective. He says, and at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, humility goes a long way with God. And when we're given those positions of leadership, we should never think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. As a matter of fact, you should be more of an example as a servant than anyone else in the church. The pastor should be the one getting his hands dirty. The elder should be the one there serving alongside the people so that they understand this is all about having kingdom-mindedness as we serve. One of the things that you'll notice, the more humble the servant is, many times he's taken for granted because he's not standing out. And that's with design by God. Because all glory in ministry has to go to God, not to ourselves. So when a servant is humble and he goes after the heart of God, he'll go unnoticed in many ways. But that's the right thing to do because that's what glorifies God. And so one of the things is that we are ministers in the kingdom of God. And you know that the word ministers means servant, right? And so because we are servants, we all work alongside each other. Even if you're the leader of the ministry, even if you're the leader of any position in Sunday school or wherever you're at, you're a servant that God has placed there, and people need to see that servant's heart in operation. When Jesus was here on planet Earth, being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he modeled servanthood for all of us. Remember, he came to wash the disciples' feet. He came to be a servant among all his followers. See, he left majesty. He left heaven, came to earth, and modeled servanthood to all of us. Why? Because humility doesn't divide the church. Humility unites the church. And this is what John the Apostle was trying to do in the church of Ephesus. He was trying to bring it together, but this one man was impeding the unity because he was building his own kingdom. Let's go to Philippians 2, verses 1 through 7. Remember what Jesus did for us in order to model that servanthood in our lives. It says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing for selfish or empty deceit or conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Isn't that what is going on when we see the scripture? Diotrephes is only concerned about his own interest. He doesn't place people's need higher than his. And so what is happening, he's not following the model that Jesus left for ministry. If you want a successful ministry in the eyes of God, there's humility all within the church. And this is what he's trying to show us. See, ministers today are seen differently in many churches. Ministers are lifted up very high, and there's a lot of man worship instead of God worship. And a lot of these new leaders, right, these new ministers should be modeling that servant model that the Lord left us while he displayed that here on earth. But sadly enough, though, a lot of the ministers have become businessmen. And so they run corporations. They don't run churches. It's a business. And so one of the things is it's a business because they want it for their own needs. When you run a church for people and for the Lord and for the kingdom of God, see, you don't have that in your heart anymore because you want to model what Jesus left you as a model. And you want to honor him with your life. It's hard to find shepherds like that today. There's still many out there. But it's hard to find people who really want to be Christ-centered and not self-centered. And self-centered ministries will always try to build ministries for their own. See, these people have that ego that says, I want the final say in everything. And you cannot do anything until you run it through me. Micromanagers that want to manage ministry like an enterprise, a corporation. See, one of the things is that you have to see that these people's hearts are driven by pride and greed, not by the Holy Spirit of God, in humility. And everything that is done in that church, that person who's self-centered, must always see that the work that is being done is for their benefit, not the Lord's. And this is evil, because it's not supposed to be in the church. See, their ministry is not to reach the lost for the sake of salvation. Their ministry is to try to get the gospel out to save people so they can have more givers in the church. And that's the problem. See, it's not about getting more givers in the church. It's about getting people that are transformed, born again by the power of God, and then they begin to serve God. See, it's very wicked now in many places. That's why it's hard to find good churches. And one of the things that, as we see the life of Diotrephes, he's being that kind of person. He's wanting everything to go through him. And he's wanting that the projects that they do, right, not be driven toward Christ, but driven to their personal needs, what they can gain from it. What is this project going to bring for me? How much more notoriety? How much glory? Okay, and Diotrephes was motivated by pride. Instead of giving the preeminence to God, right, he claimed it for himself. And so, self-centered ministries steal the glory that pertains to God. And that is why they're not useful for eternal things. Okay, 3 John 1:9. Let's go back to the verse. Look at what it says here. He says, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first. They love it. That's what drives them. Their ego, right? And so one of the things, it's a pattern for him. Notice how it's in the present tense. He loves it. He wants it. It's a pattern for him. It's habitual. So that he does it over and over again. Everything is centered on me. And he's driven by personal ambition. You know that the name Diotrephes is interesting. It means reared by Zeus. Isn't that interesting? Reared by Zeus. In other words, nursed by Zeus. That means that it was given to prominent people back in the day. So he probably had ego problems ever since he was little. You're chosen. You're one of the elite of humanity. And so because of who he was, he had that driving him to do the works that were evil. And these dictators are not humble people. They love the attention. They love it. They're not selfless. They're not loving. They're not even compassionate. Why? They don't have the Holy Spirit behind the works they're doing to make sure that these works are under the power of God as they're serving God's people. So it's sad when you see it. One of the things that we have to understand, when a ministry is raised, if it's God's, it's God's. And no man should take credit for it. Not even the pastors of the church. Amen? Okay, let's go to Colossians 1, verses 18 to 20. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in what? Everything. Everything that is done, he is preeminent above all other things. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. In other words, the completeness of God flowed within him. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So Jesus did everything, all the work to save us. And so all glory goes to him. And because he is the head of the church, the church had its origins in him. In other words, everything starts and begins with the Lord Jesus Christ. So today's church, guess what, guys? Everything must be done for Christ. He is the one who saved us. And because Jesus Christ is the head, he supplies his life, his spirit for the church to continue to do the work that he called the church to do, right? And so no person can take credit for the work that Jesus performed, especially the work of the cross to save us from our sins. Christ is the fullness of God. The word fullness was a technical term that the Gnostics liked to use. And this word meant the sum total of all divine power and attributes. In other words, God would attain those things or have those things. So they claimed if Jesus claims to be God, right, and he's man, he can never fulfill that role. But they didn't understand Jesus was God and man because he had to die on the cross for us. So remember, they thought Jesus can't possibly reconcile humanity to God. He doesn't fit the role. But they didn't understand who Jesus was. They tried to strip him of his deity. Only Jesus could reconcile humanity to God. And that was through the cross. And that's one of the things, right? He's the arbiter who could reconcile humanity through his sacrifice on the cross. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. Right? So we understand that. See, that's why humanity cannot rob God of his glory in the church. Proud people don't listen to God, not even to his leaders. And this is what Diotrephus was doing. He was surrounding with his people that would be loyal to him and not to God. And one of the issues that came up, right? It says here, John says, he wanted nothing to do with us because he was too busy building up his own kingdom. See, people with self-centered ministries have no bounds to who they will reject. Anyone who gets in their way, they're going to eliminate them. Why? Because they can run the ministry their way. And so they surround themselves with yes men instead of servants of God who will say no to the pastor when he does wrong or when he's going astray. And it's important. You'll notice that as people who are different as far as leaders, you'll see the shepherds that do want to honor God in everything, but you'll see the ones that are building a small business slowly. And then they start getting people out of the way that are getting in the way of progressive business. And you see it. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in ministry. And it's sad. See, Diotrephus even rejected the counsel of John the Apostle. Can you imagine the counsel John the Apostle could provide to a person in ministry? Can you imagine how much of an asset he would be to lead you and guide you when you were, not knowing what to do? He would have been the perfect mentor for a person who wanted to really excel in running a ministry that glorified God. He would have been the person that he would have had to guide him. And see, why was he that way with John? Why was he that way with the leadership? Well, because, remember, John was a threat to him. He was an elder, greatly respected. And people would take John's word at the face value that he brought it. In other words, it's him. He said it. And we believe it. So the more he could eliminate the elder, the more he could eliminate the wise person that God has put above the church, the more he would have total run of the ministry. And that's one of the reasons he rejected the counsel of the leaders. And he also rejected John personally, because I'm sure John had told him, "What are you doing? You're messing things up." Why? Because John was a true servant. One filled with humility. And we need more of those in the church, don't we? True servants that love the Lord in humility. See, John could reveal his work and his agenda to the church. And he could say, "Don't listen to this man. He's leading you off course." And that's why he brought the attack upon him. So, because these people are self-centered, remember, their agendas only promote themselves. Their promotions only promote themselves. And so one of the things that you have to realize, a red light flashing, is when a person wants to be known above God, that you get away from them immediately. Okay, let's go to John 3:30. John the Baptist wrote these words, And this is how we should be as servants. And it's a very simple verse, but very profound at the same time. This is what he said in John chapter 3, verse 30. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Isn't that true? So as you serve God in ministry, remember, it doesn't matter if you're noticed or not. The lesser you're noticed, the more glory is going to God. Understand that. And you don't have to toot your whistle. You don't have to put out your badge, head of ushers, right? Deacon of deacons. You just serve. And the beautiful part is when people don't notice you, all the glory is going to God. Isn't that awesome? That's how we should serve as we get together in the church. See, John understood his role as God's servant. He knew one of the things that servants of God only prepare the way for Christ to be exalted. That's a true servant, right? And one of the things that we're only servants of the Most High, we're assistants to the chief shepherd, right? Even pastors are just associate pastors to the chief shepherd. When you are preparing the way for Christ in ministry, Jesus must be the centerpiece. He must be the main attraction in the church. And we point people to him in everything we do, not to ourselves. Give all the glory to God. Amen? So the dangers of self-centered ministries is their pride promotes themselves, not Christ. Point number two, their pride promotes malicious actions. Look at verse 10. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. So what was happening is these true pastors that were going looking for hospitality, he was cutting them off. Why? Because true pastors will reveal what is false doctrine. He didn't want them near him, so he says, don't even entertain them, don't bring them here. And one of the things that John saw, was that he's accusing us unjustly. He is trying to get rid of us. But he says, for this reason, when I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does. And what's the first thing that comes up? Unjustly accusing, right? Setting up rumors about John. He was probably having a church meeting where John couldn't defend himself, having a meeting there and trying to burn John with the people and having surrounded himself with those kind of people, trying to incite them to turn on John. And that's the way these self-centered ministries work. They always try to eliminate the people who are going to expose them. And they're always going to try to fight them tooth and nail. See, Diotrephes brought false and empty charges against John the Apostle with these wicked words. Apparently, Diotrephes was trying to assemble a mob, right, to rile up people against his victim, or victims, plural, right, and try to perform these smear campaigns on them so that people would only come to them for spiritual answers. I've seen that done. I've lived under some leaders like that. And they try to smear you and your testimony. Why? Because you don't want anyone else knowing who they really are. To the people, they appear to be the real thing. But to people, when you work on the inside, it's amazing. One of the things when I first started working in ministry, when God called me, I thought, man, it's going to be great. Working with Christians, it's going to be kumbaya, right, all day long. It doesn't work out that way. All of a sudden, you start seeing, and they go, you're worse than the people in the world, man. And it's sad, but it's truth. And when you go through those things and you're trying to get the knife out of your back that you said, how did he slip it in there, man? They're smooth as butter. But the issue is more that you realize when you serve God sincerely, you're going to have opposition. Understand that. Satan will come against you to try to stop you from doing the work that honors God. And see, Diotrephes here was trying to use these wicked words to accuse John and the people that John had around him that were true servants. But it's a very common characteristic, and you'll see it in people that want to run ministry their way. And they'll try to get you out. They falsely accuse you, right? So that they can only gain trust, so that the people will only come to them. You're the only good person here. Everybody else stinks, right? Everybody else is flawed. man, how do you walk on water? And it happens in ministry all the time. And you're amazed, like, are you serious? Are you really doing this? Don't you know you're accountable to God? God is seeing what you're doing. You may fool the people and the people you've placed around you. And one of the things they'll do, they'll start putting you in positions of leadership, but for the wrong reason. I want you to serve around me because you're qualified. You know, and they say, well, I barely know the Bible. It's okay. We'll work around those issues. People like that surround themselves with like-minded people because all the power goes to them. And then they'll start buying you out. Oh, you know what? When's the last time I gave you a new position? Instead of allowing God to place them in those positions. Once they know they've met the requirements. See, it's with design. And they do it slowly so people don't even notice the things that they're doing to form their companies. And so once they form their company, they're the CEOs now, but they've kicked God out. And so the works that they're doing are dead. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so these wicked words that were used to accuse the people they were attacking, he thought they would work. And it's a characteristic that you'll see in these false accusers and what they'll use. See, they don't gain trust the right way. How is a servant of God measured? By the way he serves, right? And you get to see him. It takes time for people to respect the leader, yes? Right? And it's not a business. There's a lot of people that will run church like a business and they'll put their families in that business just because it's a business. See, true respect and honor comes by the way you serve and how people see you're trying to point them to Christ. I can never run a business with just having family around because they haven't earned the respect. I've always taught my children, earn your respect. Let people see that you do love God. And when they do, people receive them, right? There's no problem there because they see how hard they work around you. The problem with that is many people run it like a business. And even if Hunter Biden, if there's people in the family that aren't earning it, they still want to give them their rewards and they want to give them their things, right? You can't do that because you'll destroy the children eventually. The Bible's very clear. When you are a servant of God, you're serving God. And children of ministers serve God, not the dad. You get me? They have to learn that fear and reverence for God too, as they serve. But they want trust to be gained by buying people and putting out those bribes there so people will take them. No. True ministry runs with people earning that favor because God pours it on them and people see they're anointed servants of God. Amen? So it's important to understand that. See, these people are malicious and destructive. And because if the church starts serving in unity for God's glory, they start losing power. They don't want that. If the people start serving God the right way, these people become powerless. That's what they don't want to give up. That's why you'll always see them do shady things and you're going like, what? You know, but because he has people around that are like-minded, they'll never tell him, you're doing wrong. And this is how they operate. Okay, their agendas are not kingdom-minded or Christ-centered. And John says, when I get there, I'm not going to overlook this. I will confront the things that you're doing that are wrong. In other words, what John was saying, he's challenging my authority as an apostle, a true apostle. And I will make things right when I get there. I will take disciplinary action. And this is what John was saying. See, notice how these people always have, self-centered people have things that they do in the present tense. Look at the word does, accusing, does not receive, forbids, puts out. All these things are verbs that are very, very present tense. And it's with design, because that's the work that he's developed. It's habitual works, right, that are empowered by him and not the Lord. So he continues to do those things. And the word accusing here is actually a word that occurs only here in the entire New Testament. It's a cognate form or same or familiar form found in 1 Timothy. Let's go there. Verses 5-13, when it's speaking of the widows spreading gossip to keep them busy, right? So they won't. And this is the word that is used as accusing. At the same time, it says, they also learn to be idle as to go around from house to house and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. So they become tattletales, accusers, right? And so they become tattlers, people who cause friction by gossiping maliciously against the people of God. By the way, the root word in the Greek is interesting here with these accusing words. It comes from the boiling up or bubbling over of water. And there's a reason for that, because bubbles, remember, when they bubble, are hollow. And these dictators spread what? Bubbles that destroy. But once these hollow words, right, are in this bubble, once you poke at them and you investigate and you find out, what happens to that bubble? It pops. Right, and this is what it's saying. These dictators spread bubbles, hollow talk, foolish talk. They spread foolishness with their conversations that are hollow. And then these false bubbles are poked, and then they burst, because there's no truth in them once you investigate them. This is where the Greek word comes from. And when there is no truth, right, behind what they're saying, these are the false accusations that they use. They're unfounded, they're foolish, they're contrived, they're manipulated, all these things. So what is the purpose behind those accusing words? So they can eliminate the true servants loyal to God. And this is what they're doing. They surround themselves with those people they can manipulate. They get good at what they do. They're very adept at what they do. They're very deceiving. They bring up malicious charges. And they come after the people in order to destroy the work of God. Wicked words were even used in Cain's wickedness. In 1 John chapter 3, remember we studied that in verse 12. Let's go back there so you can see it. Wicked words were used to describe what Cain did. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. See the difference in the church? The same thing was happening. Diotrephes was doing evil works. Right? John the Apostle was doing good works. So we see that. It's also used for the devil and how he uses these wicked words in 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Let's go back and review. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. See, and so John was the example of doing the right works that bring glory to God. And so they were unjustly accusing him. And that's interesting to me, because look at who John the Apostle was. He was proven as a servant of God. And you mean to tell me he would go against that kind of person? That's how wicked they get. They don't care who's in front of them. They will trample them. And if anyone's a threat, which John was, then they're going to get it. But the good thing is the Lord protects his servants. You don't have to worry about that. See, so another way they work in these self-centered ministries, they'll fluff you up. Okay, they'll compliment you and compliment you and compliment you and butter you up, just like a nice roll, but then they'll bite you. Okay, and this is how they work. See, you have to understand that these people are driven, and it's not enough just to destroy a person wickedly. And we'll see that in the last part of it. But they destroy with this gossip, this evil gossip, and they continue. And look at what verse 10 says this in 3 John. Verse 10 says, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of church. Notice what he says. Okay? Whoever is already respected in the body of Christ, in the church, they seek to destroy. Why? They're in their way. And anybody who comes in that has that same heart, they try to ignore or not serve at all. Why? Because they'll be exposed. That's one of the reasons he deliberately defied John, by refusing to welcome those faithful brethren that were yoked to John, for the same reason, because these people were trouble. True servants are a threat. Remember that. To these self-centered leaders. As long as you remain true, don't be afraid to speak up. Always call what is wrong wrong and bring it out to light. And don't just stay quiet and allow them to slander the people of God either. See, he not only slandered John himself, he deliberately defied John by refusing to welcome these faithful believers, these faithful preachers that were sent by John to be able to bless the church. See, they go further and further every time until they eliminate their threat. And this is what they do. He forbids them who desires to do so. In other words, don't receive these people. Now, how in the world does a man like this get in church leadership? The church lacks discernment. How does a person, right, get this kind of position to shut off people, have power to say, you're getting out of the church, I'm running you out, and never get bothered? The church has no discernment. He's been there a while. He's set his stage. He's claimed his territory. But they lack the discernment to put people in their place. They're deceivers. And they'll be there for a long time in the church, but because they position themselves so beautifully in the church, they have been able to get in and not be detected. Even the shepherd who lacks wisdom may have him as his right-hand man, and he will destroy the works from within. They're devious people, they're subtle people. And why is this? Because they're not under the guidance of God or the Holy Spirit of God. They're under the influence of Satan. Look at 1 John 3:10. Remember what he told us. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. You can tell apart. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not from God, nor the one who does not love his brother. It's very evident. So what he tells us is you can discern, but you have to be close to the Lord and be close to his word to discern. Okay, so there's dangers in self-centered ministries, and you see it all the time. And then people get hurt and they leave the church because of the way it's being operated. So point number one, the pride promotes themselves. Their pride promotes themselves. And then second point, their pride promotes malicious actions. They'll get rid of you if you're in their way. And then lastly, their pride promotes annihilation. They get rid of you because they don't want you messing up their agenda. And so he'll put them out of the church. Look at verse 10, the second part at the end. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. That means he excommunicates them. He throws them out of the church. Diotrephes was excommunicating people from the church. The Greek word for putting them out is ekbalo. It literally means to toss them out because he's protecting his territory. And that's what he's doing. It's like the king on the hill, right? It's my hill. Mine, and that's how I'm going to run it. Anyone who was a threat, he figures out the way to get them out of the church. Through the use of malicious gossip, through the destruction of their personality, their character, anything they can do, they will use against these people. And pretty soon, they get you out of the church. And that's how they operate. I've served under people like that. But they're serving man, they're not serving God. And it doesn't matter how much they burn you or how much they come against you. God will prove faithful to take care of you. This is one of the things you don't have to worry about. As you see how people operate, it's sad, but you know Satan doesn't rest. And whenever he can bring charges against God's elect or whenever he can bring things against God's people, he will do that. And whenever he can stifle the work of the true work of God, he's going to do it. So I've seen it, I've lived through it, and it's one of the things that you learn to trust God even deeper, and it makes your faith even stronger. I don't fear men, I fear God. And that's a good thing about what we do for the Lord, right? See, I was thinking about this when we were doing the study, and I think that's why one of the reasons Gaius was getting hurt in the church. Because I started asking myself, why would John need to tell Gaius about Diotrephes if Gaius was there? He was in the church. I believe that Gaius, right, was hammered by Diotrephes. In other words, that's why in verse 8 in 3 John he told them this. Let's go back to verse 8. Therefore we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. He says, look, I see what you're doing, Gaius. keep up the work. These are the kind of people we need to support, like Gaius, not Diotrephes. And I have a feeling that Gaius was hammered by Diotrephes and he was treated poorly by this man. And that's why John said we ought to support these men who are doing the truth. Okay? In other words, Gaius, keep up the good work. Diotrephes tried to slander John, and he cold-shouldered the other preachers that were coming. He excommunicated faithful and loyal servants from the church, all because he loved prominence and power and preeminence. See, one of the things that I think happened in the church is that this man was creating so much damage to many good people in there. And he was trying to destroy everything that stood for good in that church. And these men were put out of church, many of them. You know, one of the things that's interesting about Diotrephes is many of the people who are excommunicated from the church don't even know he did it. That's how good he gets, how subtle he gets, how he operates, to where he uses other people to get rid of people. You know what I mean? And so these people never even imagine this person was behind it. But that's the way they work. They're clever. They're like serpents. And one of the things that you see, pride and arrogance, is where it all starts. When we serve God, guys, always use humility. And don't fall for the hook where Satan wants you to get exalted for what you do for God. Don't bite on the hook. Because once you bite it, it's going to be downhill from there. Always go unnoticed as much as possible to bring glory to the Lord as you serve, because then all the glory goes to Him and He'll reward you in due time. Those that humble themselves will be exalted, the Bible says. So as you serve, don't forget those things. It's so easy to try to get full of ourselves, but we must empty ourselves of all reputation. When He annihilates people here that you see in Scripture, they're power hungry, and it doesn't matter who's in the way. Get rid of all pride, get rid of all arrogance. You know, the sad part is many churches are not willing to deal with it. This person gets so good, so rooted and grounded in there, that they look the other way. They're afraid to cause rifts. But that's what they need to do, because if it's a bad leader, you need him out, not the other people who are good. You guys get me? One of the things that we are to do is to build up a godly church for Christ. We cannot look the other way when there's injustice being done. We have to face it, we have to talk about it, and understand the way they work. They deceive many people. And this is one of the things that I don't look the other way. Confront them. Psalm 27:5. Psalm 27, verse 5. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Okay, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. What is that saying? True love cares enough to confront, to speak the truth, and to deal with the issues that would otherwise cause decay or destruction. Isn't that true? When we love someone, we tell them the truth. And at first it may hurt, but it's the better thing to do. That was the heart of John. He exposes all these things. And he says, be careful with self-centered ministries, because they'll eventually destroy lives around them. And this hurts people. That's why they don't come back to church. I said, no, it's a business. It's not a church. Amen? I'd like the worship group to come up. And I'd like us to stand up. Always let humility promote you. Point people to Christ. And let your actions reflect your love for your brothers and sisters in the church. And then live to preserve the unity in the church. Work together. This is not ours. This is all God's. And maybe this morning pride has kept you from knowing God, from coming to Him and receiving salvation. God wants to change your heart and your actions so that He can bring you into salvation. There's pride that has set people away from the body as well, people that have gone away from the Lord because they saw the pride in men, but this is not God's fault. There are many misrepresentatives of God. We have to remember that. There are no perfect people. Keep your eyes on the Lord so you will not drop the baton and keep passing it to others. Jesus loves you. Keep serving the right way. And let all honor and glory go to God. He's got you. He will support you. And He will lead you through. God is good, isn't He? And remember, the church is heading toward that. More and more celebrity status versus the only true God that we serve. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to see the sides of self-centered ministries and how they hurt people. Father, I pray that we will all be servants in our church, Father, here, Father, to promote unity and humility in all our hearts, that as we continue to serve, we will point people to you. And so, Father, I come to you giving you glory, honor, and praise this morning for all you're doing in our lives, that, Father, as we start the new year, we will continue to strive to honor you and you alone. Help us, Father, when we're tempted with pride. Father, when we're trying to serve you and the enemy tries to come in and tries to trip us up with arrogance, that we will not take the bait, that we will always remember, just like you gave us the model to be true servants, we all will do that as well. We love you so much, Lord, and we thank you for your living word. Would you bless your people with a beautiful day of understanding how much you love them and how much you want to use their lives for your glory. And that we all come together giving you, Father, all honor, all glory, all praise, for you are good all the time. We praise you, we love you, and we adore you. In Jesus' name.